Thank you, Casey, and thank you all. I appreciate your time, and I'm looking forward to sharing this information from my research with you. So the title of this project is Traditional Cardiovascular Disease Risk Factors Predict Acrolein Metabolite Level in a Population-Based Study. In the background, I'll share with you information about the association between cardiovascular disease and air pollution exposure, some of which you very recently saw in the last presentation. And then I'll also go into more depth showing the link between cardiovascular disease and acrolein exposure. Then I'll share the methods of our study. I'll share with you our study design, as well as how we quantify acrolein metabolism in our study. And then I'll show whether acrolein exposure, as noted by acrolein metabolism, is associated with different cardiovascular disease risk factors, followed by a discussion of the strengths and limitations of our study. So cardiovascular disease is the top cause of death worldwide. What's very interesting about the burden of this disease is that it appears through future projections that the burden is going to continue to grow associated with cardiovascular disease. So while 1 in 3 U.S. adults currently have cardiovascular disease, by 2030 this is expected to grow to 41% of our population in the U.S. At the same time, the economic burden is going to continue to grow as well. So between 2010 and 2030, costs, indirect and direct costs for cardiovascular disease is expected to triple. So from $297 billion in 2010 up to exceeding $800 billion in 2030. The top cause of cardiovascular disease death is coronary artery disease. This is a disease of the heart, the vessels that supply the heart. And coronary artery disease is largely predicted by modifiable risk factors. It's predicted through the Framingham Risk Score, which includes some non-modifiable risk factors, age, gender, for example, but also includes some modifiable risk factors, some of which are shown here. So high blood pressure is a risk factor for cardiovascular disease. It is reported that in one particular study, they revealed that 9 out of 10 adults above the age of 40 that have high blood pressure will develop cardiovascular disease. High cholesterol is also associated with increased risk, twofold increased risk. Tobacco use increases risk 2 to 4-fold. Physical inactivity increases risk by 50%. Obesity and unhealthy diets also increase risk, and type 2 diabetes increases risk by at least 20%. Now, what's very interesting is that these are modifiable risk factors of cardiovascular disease. So in the Nurses Health study out of Boston, they investigated a cohort of nurses. And these are healthcare professionals with advanced knowledge into risk factors. And so in this cohort of nurses, they determined that 82% of coronary events were attributed to modifiable risk factors, including diet, body weight, physical activity, smoking, and alcohol consumption. But what's most interesting is that among this cohort of nurses, only 3% were considered to be low risk. This leads us to investigate other modifiable risk factors. And there's a growing body of evidence indicating that air pollution exposure increases risk of cardiovascular disease. So in this literature review of multiple studies, they indicate here that air pollution exposure is significantly associated with increased mortality risk of heart disease, on average 5 to 15% increased risk. This particular study, and I focused your attention towards all cardiovascular diseases plus diabetes and ischemic heart disease, this particular study also indicates that increased exposure to air pollution, PM2.5 here, increases risk for all cardiovascular diseases plus diabetes and ischemic heart disease, again, from 5 up to 15% on average. The difference in this study is that the size of the dots indicates the number of deaths that are associated or attributed to air pollution exposure. So this gives more strength of evidence of the link between cardiovascular disease and air pollution exposures. Lastly, in terms of the literature review, this study looked at triggers for heart attacks. So you see cocaine use here cocaine use is associated with a very high odds of having a heart attack, but it has a small prevalence in the population. So you see it's only associated with triggering maybe 1% of heart attacks. But if you look at air pollution exposure, 30 micrograms per cubic meter, 4.8% of heart attacks were attributed to air pollution exposure. And then if you look to traffic exposure, 7.4% of heart attacks were triggered by traffic exposure. This is particularly important because the chemical that I'm discussing with you today, acrolein, traffic exposure is a source of acrolein. And I'll get back to describing acrolein in just a moment, but I wanted to explain the biological plausibility here. This should look very familiar, but I'll go in a slightly different direction than what was just discussed. These are the three different pathways of how particulate matter exposure contributes to heart effects or vascular effects. So in the first pathway, systemic and oxidative stress and inflammation of the lung cells causes vasoconstriction, so constriction of the vessels, and this contributes to endothelial dysfunction, which is an imbalance between constriction and dilation of the vessels. This is important because endothelial dysfunction is a hallmark of atherosclerosis. In pathway two, there's an imbalance between the sympathetic nervous system and the parasympathetic nervous system, where there's an increase in the sympathetic nervous system, which is our fight or flight response, also contributing to vasoconstriction, increased heart rate, decreased heart rate variability, and again, endothelial dysfunction. And then in the third pathway, particulate matter is actually translocated, or particularly ultrafine particulate matter are translocated through the blood. This also contributes to vasoconstriction and possibly platelet aggregation. These three pathways indicate to us that the association between air pollution exposure and cardiovascular disease is vascular in nature. And that's important because cardiovascular disease is also vascular in nature. So these are sources of acrolein. Acrolein is a combustion pollutant. So we're exposed to acrolein through open fire, industrial emissions, automobile emissions, tobacco smoke, as well as certain foods. Fried foods, carbohydrates, and beers also increase our acrolein exposures. Now, just to briefly go over the pathway of how acrolein is metabolized in our body, acrolein is conjugated by glutathione and then cleaved by gamma-glutamic acid and glycine, and then in acetylation of the cysteine results in OPMA, which you see in the middle of this figure here, and that is reduced to form hydroxypropylmer capturic acid, HPMA. HPMA is the primary urine metabolite of acrolein, and so we're measuring HPMA because of its high quantity in the urine as a good marker of acrolein exposure. Acrolein is linked with cardiovascular disease, including increased risk of hypertension, decreased plaque stability, and thrombosis. What we find is that in mice that are exposed to acrolein, when we do cross-sections of their aortas, within the atherosclerotic lesions of their aortas, there are protein acrolein adducts within these lesions. So acrolein can form protein adducts and oxidize thioredoxin in endothelial cells, promoting atherogenesis. And then exposure to acrolein induces endothelial dysfunction in mice. But this has not been investigated in humans. So to investigate this in humans, we want to look at HPMA as a breakdown product of acrolein to indicate acrolein exposure. And we want to look at this with traditional risk factors of cardiovascular disease. And we hypothesize that HPMA levels will be associated with cardiovascular disease risk factors. So to test this hypothesis, we have a cross-sectional assessment of cardiovascular disease within Louisville, Kentucky. We recruit our patients from university cardiology clinics, and patients either are receiving primary or secondary treatment for cardiovascular disease. So they either have the disease and have been diagnosed with the disease and are being treated for to prevent further outcomes, which is secondary treatment, or they're being treated for primary prevention because they have risk factors for cardiovascular disease, but not overt cardiovascular disease. Then we administer an interview questionnaire with them once they enroll and consent in our study, and we extract their demographics. We get their cardiovascular disease history and risk factors, and also their exposures. And then we collect urine for biological sample analysis, and we detect HPMA, the acrolein metabolite, using HPLC mass spectrometry. And we normalize this value to creatinine, which is a marker of kidney function. We also detect cotinine using HPLC mass spec. Cotinine is a nicotine metabolite, and this allows us not to rely on self-reported data to get an amount of exposure to tobacco smoke. And lastly, the statistical analysis include descriptive statistics of our sample population. We have t-test analysis of a comparison between our population and a healthy cardiovascular disease-free population. And then lastly, I'll show you the linear regression model showing each of the risk factors and whether they're independently associated with HPMA levels. Now, this may be difficult to see. This is Louisville, Kentucky. Louisville is all of Jefferson County, Kentucky, due to a merger between the city and the county. So this is Jefferson County, Kentucky. And you can see that cardiovascular disease in Louisville, You can see that cardiovascular disease in Louisville tends to be in this more western range of the county, or cardiovascular disease death in Louisville, where indicated by the darker, the dark brown areas. This is our study population. These small gold dots represent each of our people within our study. This is geographically masked, so I'm able to share this with you for that reason. And if you look, you can see that our population largely resides in this area where there's also high risk for cardiovascular disease mortality. This is our study population, and they largely represent a population that is at risk for cardiovascular disease. They're middle-aged, they're mostly male. There's a large minority population included in our study. There's a large prevalence of smoking, 39%, which is almost double of what I showed you in slide three earlier. There's a large prevalence of of hypertension within our population. 36% have had heart attacks, and most of our population are being treated with statins, beta blockers, or ACE inhibitors for protection from their risk factors for cardiovascular disease. Now, this is a comparison between our population, our study population, and a healthy population, and we're looking at different markers of cardiovascular disease risk, and you can see in terms of hsCRP, which is the marker of inflammation, our population demonstrates significantly higher inflammation than the healthy population. And if you look at platelet monocyte aggregates, which is a marker of thrombosis, our population has a significantly higher amount of thrombosis compared with the healthy population. So overall, this population represents a population that is at risk for cardiovascular disease. Now, as I go through these coming slides, I'm going to show you HPMA and univariate associations with the different risk factors. So we'll start here with smoking, as measured through cotinine levels. And you can see in both of these figures, starting with figure A here, that as cotinine level increases, so also does HPMA with significance. And additionally, in figure B, and looking at this in a continuous analysis, as cotinine level increases, HPMA also increases with significance. And this is expected because it is shown that smoke exposure, or smoke is a source of acrolein exposure. So we would expect these to be associated. So this builds on further evidence that this has already been established. But going into other cardiovascular disease risk factors, in figure A or figure 3 here, you can see that as BMI increases, HPMA also increases. Additionally, along the same lines, you can see that people that exercise have lower levels of HPMA than people that do not exercise. And then in terms of alcohol consumption, I told you before that alcohol or beer was a source of acrolein exposure. People that don't consume alcohol had lower levels of HPMA than people that consume alcohol. And that's based on self-reported alcohol consumption. But very interestingly, in figure 2D here, we wanted to see how the Framingham, how HPMA levels correlated overall with the Framingham risk score, the risk logarithm for predicting cardiovascular disease. And very interestingly, as Framingham risk score increased, HPMA levels increased. So we find this to be a really interesting finding of our study. And then here's our linear regression analysis, and we found that each of these risk factors was independently associated with HPMA levels. So cotinine was positively associated with HPMA. So as cotinine increased, HPMA increased. And we expected that on the basis of previous results. As BMI levels increased, HPMA increased. As alcohol consumption increased, HPMA levels increased, and there was an inverse association between HPMA levels and exercise. So as people reported exercising, they had lower levels of HPMA. So in summary, the previous findings are replicated showing that cotinine levels, an indicator of smoking, are positively associated with HPMA. Drinking is positively associated, and exercise is inversely associated. And then cotinine, BMI, alcohol, and exercise were all significant independent predictors of HPMA levels. But more work is, of course, required to understand this mechanism moving forward, and that'll definitely be the direction that we take in moving forward with this study. But the strengths are that this is a novel investigation between HPMA as a marker of acrolein exposure and cardiovascular disease risk factors. We also have a large population study, and that's very beneficial in this research of 240 people. I don't think I pointed that out before. So we have a large population that we are investigating. Additionally, another strength of the study is that we have an individual measure of acrolein metabolism through individual HPMA measurements. And then lastly, in terms of our strengths, we have an empirical smoke measurement. So we're not relying on self-reported data of tobacco smoke use. Now, there are some limitations in our study. The biomarkers are only collected in one time point. It'd be great if we could follow people prospectively and take biomarkers at multiple time points and get a better feel for people's exposures. Additionally, there's possible selection bias. As I showed you, we have a population that is clearly at high risk for cardiovascular disease, and we sample from cardiology clinics. So we essentially have an unhealthy population, but we do have a snapshot of what cardiovascular disease looks like within a population at risk. Alcohol consumption and exercise are based on self-report, so that poses an additional limitation. And then lastly, we don't have individual or community measurements of acrolein, and that would be a great addition to this data set. If people were to wear individual monitors, which acrolein is very difficult to detect anyway because it is very reactive. And it is very volatile and evaporates very quickly. But if that was possible, that would be excellent. We have acrolein monitors in Jefferson County, but they're concentrated in one area, so we're not able to really interpolate across our population acrolein exposures. And that would cut our population size down so much that we may not have power to truly detect associations then. But we thank the phlebotomists at University of Louisville for biological sample collection, Dwayne, Dave, Ray, Melissa, the Giortani Laboratory, and especially the Diabetes and Obesity Center for technical assistance. And this project was supported through grants from the Anthem WellPoint Foundation, the NIEHS, the National Institute of General Medical Sciences, and the Center for Environmental Genomics and Integrative Biology. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Do we have any questions? Go ahead.
So, very nice talk.
Thank you.
Is HPMA specific metabolite acrolein?
Yes. It is a metabolite that is specific to acrolein. Now, what's interesting is that I didn't mention this before, acrolein is also formed endogenously. So it's difficult to extract whether a person has endogenous exposures or environmental exposure to acrolein. Possibly.
I think we have time for a few more.
Okay.
Just one quick comment. A number of the graphs that you showed look potentially like the relationships you observed could have been
That's very important. Thank you.
Way in the back.
Comment and a question. Comment is ACMA mentioned that the anti-cancer drug carrier involved with therapeutically.
Hmm. Say that again? When we perform our study questionnaire, it doesn't specify. The questionnaire is essentially, do you consume alcohol, yes or no, or how much, yes or no. So it doesn't specify what type of alcohol. What we have found in our study is that essentially people are either heavy drinkers or not drinkers at all. So it's difficult to say whether that's attributed to wine, attributed to beer, but there is indication that the people that self-report to be consumers of alcohol are heavy consumers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My question is, do you know if it's in wine?
No, I'm not 100% certain there.
I think this is the last question, and then we'll move on to our last presentation.
We have that in our database, and we haven't analyzed it yet, but definitely that would be a direction that we plan to take. Thank you.